Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're talking about current events, really. What's going on right now with COVID-19, the coronavirus, how it's going to affect real estate in the coming months. We wanted to talk about this because it's important for real estate investing. It's important for creative financing. And it's important to understand kind of where the market's going now or where it could be going. What we're going to be doing on this episode is I'm going to be kind of asking Jeff some questions and, based on his experience, in his years of going through these economy cycles, kind of what he thinks is going to happen. So, Jeff, you wanted to kind of talk about this too, because you got a couple deals that, looks like they're falling apart or something you were telling me about.
So we actually got a couple of deals yesterday that were waiting for signed agreements. We had a couple of deals a couple of days prior that were notice of defaults, so pre-foreclosures, and things just came out that Fannie Freddie Mac are going to suspend mortgage payments for people that are in trouble for up to 12 months, and they're suspending all foreclosure proceedings for at least 60 days, which makes it difficult for us to, if you're living in the home, if this is your owner occupying it, it doesn't make a lot of sense for you to sell it. You no longer have that sense of urgency. So both of those deals have fallen out. I don't know if they're done or if we're just postponed for a while, but these are some of the things that are going to affect you and your business, and you've got some decisions to make on what kinds of leads are you going after, what are some of these bailouts or forbearances going to mean to you, and should you be actively trying to find deals? What's going to happen with the lending? All that kind of stuff. And, as a wholesaler, you certainly want to know what's going to happen with your buyers.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about that. What's going on with Fannie and Freddie right now? Why are they doing this? Why are they, potentially suspending payments, I guess?
Well, for one, people have been laid off their jobs, right? I mean, in record numbers. In April, we'll probably have the biggest unemployment rate we've ever had in this country, mostly because businesses are shut down. I mean, just think about Las Vegas alone and all of the casinos and how many people they employ.
Every casino was
shut down.
And
we're going to see more shutdowns too. It's just inevitable. And so a lot of these people are, they don't have any other income coming in. And the government has decided to try to help them. So coronavirus, but a total economic meltdown. And hopefully this will be fairly short-lived and businesses will be able to get back open and people will get their jobs back or get new jobs, whatever the case may be, and the economy will get rolling. So I think it's kind of this stopgap that they're hoping that maybe everything won't be very long-term.
Yeah. So where do you think the market's going to go now, Jeff, if we have this huge amount of layoffs, which, you know, we're starting to see right now? You know, the unemployment rate just spiked. I don't know by what percent, but it was huge. It was like last time I heard, and it was only tracking the last 2 days of last week, I think Thursday and Friday, it was like 75%, that unemployment rate jumped.
I think the record, I think the record unemployment rate is around 23%. And I think that we should expect to exceed that in the next, you know, 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And don't take my numbers for, you know, 100%, but I'm pretty sure that's what I heard.
Yeah, don't take mine either.
Well, there are a lot of numbers being thrown around as well right now. And really what we're trying to do is gauge what should we be doing and how, if any way, can we continue to help homeowners? How do we continue to, you know, maintain our business and potentially what new opportunities may present themselves?
Yeah. So kind of on my side of the coin, Jeff, you know, being a flipper, I'm a little hesitant right now to be honest, to buy any kind of big project. And honestly, I want to stay kind of in that medium income or medium, house price range, just because, and it's such uncertain times, right? Interest rates are super low right now because, you know, the Fed's cut rates down to, I think, zero. And so interest rates dipped into, you know, the high twos and low threes. But because there's been such an influx of refinance applications, you know, due to supply and demand, lenders actually raised, you know, the rate. So now it's back up to, you know, 3.5, 4, or at least probably high threes. So, yeah, it's a good time to buy, right? But, you know, during these uncertain times, especially with, you know, massive amounts of layoffs, people are going to be hesitant to make a big purchase like a home, right? So they're probably going to want to hunker down where they are if they're renting, or, you know, if they're in a house that might be a little small or a little big for them, whatever the case might be, they might want to stay where they are. So I definitely think we're going to go into, you know, a buyer's market, really. I think it's going to be harder to sell properties here in the near future. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the first thing is that think about the people without any income aren't getting loans. They're not going to get a conventional loan through a bank. That's not going to happen. Really, the uncertainty is, I don't think that the market is going to change dramatically. There may be, because of the lack of people that can qualify, may create even less buyers. And now sellers that are eager to sell, you know, maybe they have two mortgage payments. Maybe, you know, they've lost their job as well, and, you know, they don't want to fall behind on their house payment. These are potential things that could happen. And I totally agree with your philosophy, your business model to stay in that median home price or below, because I don't think that's going to change much. I think that's the affordability where people are still looking, and I still believe that that will work out just fine.
Yeah.
As you start moving up that price range, or if you have a high median price range in your area, that could be a whole different story. And I see, you know, I literally in the last 48 hours, someone just approached me and said, I am looking for $1 million to $1.4 million single family home that I can buy with owner financing with, you know, around $100,000 down. And I'm going to go find that deal, right? Because to me, that should be something that hey, if I can work out the house that will work for this lady, and I can work out a $50,000-$60,000 down payment, it's a quick $40,000-$50,000 assignment fee for us, and she can afford a $7,000 a month payment. And so real estate's not going to end. That's the first thing that we should going to still be transing. That I'm a little bit concerned about is that my guess is that at some point, probably sooner rather than later, title companies and or county recorders may shut down as well. They may continue to try to work from home. They may, if all of the data is online, they may be able to work from home. But there are counties that we work in that don't have online access. And I'm curious how, if anything, will happen. You know, real estate may just be put on hold for a few weeks, a month, whatever the case may be. None of the title companies that we deal with have shut down yet, but I do know of some that have shut down throughout the country.
Yeah, it's already
something that's potentially going to happen as more and more, more and more places are, right now I think we're at 10 people is like the max of a gathering, right?
So, right.
although for some reason, some workplaces aren't necessary. Some are like exempt or something. I'm not sure I really understand that. But, and keep in mind in Utah, I mean, we had a little added issue this week with an earthquake. And which has done some damage, and the county recorder actually took off the balance of this week to assess any damage to the building, but they continued to work from home, which I felt like that. But that's our biggest county. That might continue in Salt Lake County, but it may not continue in some of the smaller counties. And I think that you would probably see that across the country. Some of the bigger counties, business might continue, just might be a little different than we've ever had it before. Some of the smaller counties, you might have some real problems trying to, finish loans, purchase properties, get title reports, and actually have closings.
Yeah, and that would really, really disrupt the industry, or at least your market, wherever you're at. If the county recorder shuts down or the assessor, that's going to have a huge impact on real estate because it stops the transaction, right?
That's right.
It stops. If you can't record, you can't close. If you can't close, you're not going to transfer funds. So it just stops the transaction. So that could be huge. I mean, that'd be, devastating to all real estate investors.
And until the government just announced this potential forbearance for people, and it's not just for anyone. You can't just say, hey, I'm not going to make any payments right now. I think you have to prove that you don't have the means to make these payments while, you're on a hiatus from your job.
Yeah.
But before that came about, there was all kinds of potential that could have happened in this market, right? That now people that, I'm sorry, but our society lives, a lot of our society lives paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, they
missing do. One or two paychecks can really screw you up. And I know that everyone's supposed to get $1,000 or $1,200 from the government, but which is nice, but what does that do? I mean, I don't know what market everyone is in, but in our market, a $1,200 may cover the rent payment, it may not too. So, it's a very minimal kind of help. And so now based on shutting down, it'll be interesting to see what that does to landlords too. And
Yeah,
because unless they suspend landlord payments, so think about this. If you have a renter that doesn't have to pay you and you still have some money, but you're not collecting your normal rents. Are you now forced to make those monthly payments, or are you also going to get a forbearance on making those payments?
Yeah, good question.
There may be opportunities for, hey, properties that are non-owner occupied. The problem is that evictions are kind of on hold, foreclosures are on hold for 60 days. So there's a lot of uncertainty. And me personally, I don't see the government for giving forbearance to like millions of people across the country for up to 12 months. Maybe yeah, for 60 days. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting, and I would certainly keep an eye on that. But yeah, there's certainly going to be potential. And could you imagine, I mean, maybe you have a tenant that's still capable of paying, but you're a landlord that's saying, I don't know if I want to roll the dice and see what's going to happen with all this in the next 30, 60, 90 days or longer. It's not worth it to me. I don't love being a landlord to begin with. And now I got to deal with the coronavirus and tenants not having jobs and not making payments. And people might be like, hey, it's time to liquidate.
Yeah. For sure. And being a landlord, I can tell you, like, right now I already have a tenant that's not going to be renewing a lease coming next month. And so I'm like, man, for me, you know, it right now it personally affects me because I'm going to be looking for a new tenant in this uncertain environment that we're in right now.
Sure.
Where people are social distancing themselves, right? So, and then I think about, like, if my tenants stopped paying, like, I would still want to make my mortgage payments. So I would be covering the brunt of that. So yeah, I don't know where that's going to go. But yeah, it's leaves me with a very uneasy feeling. I'll say that.
And I think, you know, unfortunately I can't give a whole lot of concrete answers because we just don't know. You know, there's things coming out every day, and there's going to be some uncertainty, some instability.
Yeah.
Right now, what we've got to do is kind of see where things go. Let's talk about lending. So right now, lenders aren't being necessarily affected, but I just listened to something with a very large lender who lends on commercial, and that it is going to affect the lending. They talked about, hey, lending is going to continue, but it mostly will be Fannie and Freddie that do the loans. They're probably going to, anything that took 45 days or 60 days is probably going to take 75 to 90 days. Their criteria is probably going to be expanded. So where they were maybe making loans at 80% loan to value, that might drop to 75% loan to value. Their conditions may start to tighten up where they want to see more experienced people involved in these commercial deals as opposed to newer type people. When I say more experience in dealing with that particular type of asset, but also having the kind of backing money-wise to withstand some issues as opposed to, you know, people that they have been making loans to. So even the lending standards and, you know, single family could be the same way. Yes, rates are still low, but and a good time to use them, but they may not be as readily available. They may start to tighten up a bit as well. You may or may not be able to use the no income type loans and And you know, if you're buying non-owner occupied properties, it may drop. The loan to values may drop, and you actually may see even a little higher interest rates than maybe you think that you should be seeing.
Yeah,
and that's the byproduct of what's going on. Banks are going to be cautious as well.
Yeah, and there lies the opportunity for creative financing.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So if banks aren't lending, how are people going to sell properties? Right? And I know there was a time in history here in the United States where interest rates were, correct me if I'm wrong, 15-18%, right?
Yeah, back in the
80, was it?
Yeah, it was either late 70s or 80s, something like that, 80s maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was a lot more common for sellers to be open to financing, carrying financing. And if banks aren't lending, and if it's taking a lot longer for Freddie and Fannie to make these loans, and they tighten their criteria, that's going to shrink the buyer pool considerably. And you know, when that happens, if you're able to step in with a solution for your seller who needs to get out of the house, you know, with a creative financing offer, that's going to work for them. And there's going to be a lot more people open to that. So during times like this, where, you know, the market's tanking, or the economy's going down, or, you know, we're starting to go into a recession, knowing and using creative financing will be the key to making deals happen in a bad market.
Well, and consider this as well. So what, one, you're talking about not having as many buyers and because of the lenders, but you're also not going to have as many buyers necessarily because they're out of a job right now. So
yeah,
they can't qualify. And what if the market were to dip? So, you know, it's not a complete crash. It's not, but what if the market was to drop 10%, 15%, which, hey, if you've kept track of the stock market, going on right now, losses in the last week or so ever. And so what if the real estate market had the same kind of, you know, initial drop? Well, now people who have been paying, you know, these high prices for these properties may not even have any equity anymore. So they may be upside down or little to no equity.
And, right.
Now they can't really even afford to sell that property on the open market, or they'll be forced to do it without a realtor, or maybe they're not even able to sell it because they're upside down. They'd have to bring money to the table. Great chance, great opportunity to use creative financing if you know what you're doing. Now, not always the best case scenario, and you definitely want to take some precautions to, hey, I can buy this property for $250. They owe $250. They've got a good mortgage payment. The interest is low, but it's now only worth $230. And if you structure it correctly, and typically the way that you want to structure it is, you know, little to no money down and a longer term. Give yourself a longer term for the value to come back. And now you're looking at putting someone in that property and giving them the opportunity to be there long term to get that value back.
Right. And that's a great point, because that's going to be huge in that scenario, right? If that happens, if property values drop 10-15%. I mean, I can think of a property that I'd probably be upside down in if you know, values drop that much. So it's tough to say, right? I mean, what's going to happen? It's all speculation right now. And it seems like things are, you know, changing day by day. So what's your advice then, Jeff, to investors right now, that are looking at this this pandemic and going, oh, wow, I have no idea what to do here, or I'm scared to make a move. What's your advice to them?
So one of the things is I would look at your business model right now and look at what it is that you focus on, and is it feasible to continue to focus on that? Real estate investing, in my opinion, almost 20 years in this, is that you learn to adapt. And if you don't learn to adapt, then you run into trouble. And so what's been one of the most popular strategies probably for the last 3 to 5 years, Jonathan?
Any idea?
What's that? Well, think buy and hold.
Oh, buy and hold?
Yeah.
As far as like creative financing goes?
No, just what are people very much into right now that gets them a higher rate of return on a buy and hold?
I'm not sure.
Airbnb.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's vacation home type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine what's happening with that whole industry right now?
Yeah. It collapses.
Zero. It collapses.
That's actually something I haven't thought about yet. Yeah. You're right.
So if you are actually, and I've seen plenty of people talk about, hey, you can overpay, you can pay top dollar for these properties because you're going to get, a larger cash flow each month. Well, not now. And now if you convert these properties, hopefully you can at least break even as like a normal rental, because I don't know when the Airbnb stuff comes back. And right now traveling is not happening. Hospitality is where, a huge hit to our country. So if that's the goal, if that was your business model, immediately I'd start thinking about what do I want to do with what I have to mitigate some of this stuff. And obviously I'm not looking for adding some Airbnb right now.
Yeah, and the ones that you do have, you might want to look at offloading them. If you're an investor and you have Airbnbs, a great way to offload them if you can't sell them on the market is what?
Sell them on financing.
Yep, exactly. And you can find owner occupants pretty easy, I would imagine, for those properties. And if not, you can sell them to landlords for sure. If you didn't want to, if you didn't want to manage them. Manage tenants.
One of the things that we should absolutely talk about, and maybe we'll talk about it just briefly, but at some point we should bring on an attorney and talk about the Dodd-Frank and the SAFE Act rules when you're creating notes. And so just like you said, if you wanted to sell, let's say you had 12 Airbnb property and you decided to have owner financing, you better be aware of the Dodd-Frank and SAFE Act rules. We really haven't brought that up on our show, mostly because I don't want to give legal advice and for people to think that I'm an expert in Dodd-Frank and SAFE Act. But they're fairly easy and you can deal with them. It's not awesome what you've got to deal with, but you can certainly get around some things, but you should know what you're dealing with. And so that would be one area that I would want to focus on is, hey, what is my business model and does it continue to work right now? So you were talking, you're a rehabber. Mm-hmm. All right, so maybe now I'm going to be pickier on, hey, the price that I'm going to pay on this property and the price range that I'm going to deal with, right? So you might have been okay dealing with some higher price range homes, and maybe the spread wasn't quite where you wanted, but the market's been so good that it leaves some room for error. Until you feel comfortable, I would err on the other side, where I want a little bigger spread and I want to stay within the price range that I feel comfortable with.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
as a wholesaler. What I probably want to do is touch base with some of my buyers and make sure they're still buying, and what they're looking for. And maybe I need to negotiate a little better deal on our end so that we can pass that on to, you know, our rehabbers or our buy and hold investors. One of the things, and this sounds crazy too, but when I was involved in the crash, in 2008, that there were certain things that you did not want to be involved in. Now, I don't foresee this as being similar to 2008. 2008, there were bank issues. Banks shut down. I don't foresee that happening. They may tighten up. They may, have some issues, but I don't see them like going away. And so it's totally different. But, the things that I was involved in that I would not want to be involved in another crash would be high-end renovations.
Okay.
Land development. And because that's typically where the lending stops first is land development, building, that kind of stuff. And in this case, Airbnb, those would not be the places that I'd want to be with an uncertainty. Now I say that, and literally today I'm making two offers on land. And they're both kind of development opportunities. Now, I am going to, and I would suggest this to anyone right now, is give yourself, no matter what, single family, multifamily, commercial, land, whatever, I'd give yourself a little more due diligence time. One, that we just talked about, what if title companies close down? What if county recorders close down? Be a little more creative. I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I don't really want to run out and go see properties right this second. And I don't know if the sellers really want me or someone from my team coming to their house right now. The social distancing. And so let's get creative. Maybe have the seller do a FaceTime. Or a Zoom where they literally take video of their own property and send it to you. That's kind of your inspection. Maybe they allow you to come over, but they're going to leave the property for 30 minutes, something, who knows, but you need to probably get a little more creative because I don't know that everyone is going to be like, yeah, sure, come on over, come take a look. Right. Come hang out. I don't know you, and who knows if you have the coronavirus, and and maybe they do. So
I'm actually wondering like how showings are going, statewide. Like
I think that showings you have
dropped off, or
I think you have a mix, and I think it depends on the market. So from what I've heard here, that it has dropped off, but from what I read in some articles in Florida, it's business as usual. So just because today is one way, by Monday it could be a whole different way.
Yeah, exactly.
We are in a very quickly changing time frame, and the more that you can kind of keep up with what's going on, probably the better. But I am not slowing down our business. Maybe the closings can't happen as quickly as I would like, but there are still sellers that are looking to sell, needing to sell, and we are making deals and we are putting stuff under contract. A longer due diligence time and or closing time frame, or at least the idea that, hey, if something were to come up that we may need to extend this, because I'm already looking at what potentially could happen.
Yeah. So who gets burned first? I mean, obviously right now the Airbnb investors, right? But who's the next one to get burned when the market is decreasing, you know?
And we're losing. I can tell you that, you know, we've been working on this development deal for 2 years, and the city keeps putting us off, telling us every single week for probably the last 6 months, you'll be approved. You'll be approved in a week, in a week, in a week. And this was my concern, is that if we were already approved, we probably would have sold this property, this project, to a builder, and they would be dealing with it now, and we'd be paid.
Yeah.
With uncertainty, builders may not be as apt to move as quickly, may not be willing to pay as much, or may not have the backing or the financing confidence in this kind of thing. So I would tell you that any kind of project where you could get stuck with holding costs, especially like hard money holding costs, for a prolonged period of time would be something that you'd want to think long and hard about, at least for the next few weeks. I'm not saying that this may only go on for a few more weeks, a month, and we may not even see a drop in prices. We may not. So before everyone panics and starts thinking that they have all the answers, part of what we're doing is we're moving forward cautiously, still watching what's going on in the market. Because the government is the X factor here, right? Because they can issue different things. They can forbearances, bailouts, all kinds of stuff that can change what we're doing very quickly. Just like we're talking about with the pre-foreclosures.
Right. Yeah, that's tough.
So any kind of development, because land doesn't bring in any income
for long, long periods of time. So land development, and then anything where you have a ton of holding costs, anything you're borrowing hard money on, that's great advice, Jeff.
As far as rentals go, you know, higher end rentals might be a little more challenging right now. But again, if you're staying in the, you know, kind of the sweet spot of where, you know, I don't see that changing. If anything, people might try to downsize into stuff like that. So there may be even more demand for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. If people are losing their houses, then they got to have somewhere to live.
Yeah, the question is, are they actually losing them? Yeah, right? So yeah,
if they're doing forbearance and that kind of thing, they're not for a while.
It's funny. I've read this article this morning. And so when you call up and ask the lender, which is what is necessary, right? And they're claiming you won't have to submit all this paperwork. It won't be this long, drawn out process that, you know, you state your case and they'll try to do this, or they'll do a loan modification, or, you know, they're there to help. Okay. My experience has been is that banks have never been there to help, ever. And I deal with people that are a week away from losing their property, and the bank is still telling them, well, we're working on your loan mod. And I tell them, they are not working on your loan mod.
No.
They're telling you that they're working on your loan mod, so you don't go file bankruptcy and stop this whole process. What they want you to think is that you may get it, but don't do anything, because otherwise the foreclosure will occur. So I'm not buying that these banks are just going to be like, oh, sure, yeah. You called? Okay, you can't make a payment? Okay, well, call us back and let us know when you can start making it. You have up to 12 months. Or, why don't we start looking at a loan mod and try to get your 4% down to 3%, 3.25%, and take $225 off your payment. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that it's going to be that easy, that smooth. I've never seen that, and I don't expect it. So I remember when banks were kind of ordered to look at loan modifications, they had these long, drawn-out processes with lots of paperwork, and a lot of people never got them.
Yeah, probably the majority. There's probably only a small percentage, probably 5 or 10% of people actually get them.
Yeah. So I'm not a believer that, you know, the whole forbearance thing is going to be this smooth, easy deal. And it'll be interesting to see what happens on the flip side, if there's going to be like a bailout for, or a forbearance for landlords.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't foresee that.
Yeah, a 60-day hold on evictions. And, you know, it's funny. I was literally ready to buy a property. I'm so glad I did not. I was actually taking over the note from someone who sold the property on owner financing. Okay. This was the seller, no longer the seller, because they've sold the property on a note. But the buyer is not making payments, and they just want out of this. So I would take over this person's position. And it's contract for deed. So, you know, I had to look at the note that they created, and, you know, some things didn't get paid. So they're behind on an HOA fee that's $30 every other month that somehow has climbed to $2,100.
Wow.
Guys behind two payments. So the underlying mortgage is behind two payments. And my goal was, is I wanted this person out of the house. But now this forbearance for 60 days is going to prevent me from getting him out of the house. And so what should he do? Well, he has no real reason to pay and catch me up. He has no real reason to, I was going to offer him money to leave, but he's getting more money from the government to just say, stay for two more months. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out, because now I'm not going to jump into this situation. This lady's not going to be able to collect two more payments from him. Then she's going to be behind four payments.
It just gets,
is she going to get, you know, that treatment as well?
Yeah, and I don't foresee it for, I mean, any like landlords. I could see like homeowners, you know, might get forbearance or something, but just landlords, people who hold, you know, a bunch of rentals, I don't foresee them getting any kind of leeway.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, if you had, Jonathan, right now, if you had 4,000 units, and none of your tenants had to pay you, so you had to pay all your payments.
No, I cannot.
I mean, isn't that just as bad, if not worse? I mean,
yeah, it would tank you. You would, you, you,
you're you talking your multi-millions of dollars of loans, and probably non-recourse loans too. And I don't know that these bailouts. I know what the government's trying to do, but I can tell you back in 2008, I personally needed a bailout. I was involved in stuff. I didn't do anything wrong. I was just involved with stuff at the wrong time. And no one bailed me out. No one gave me a loan modification. And if they would have, I would have made it all right. But no one did that for me. They spent money on these banks, and you know, for several years I had to figure out what to do. Now all these bailouts are coming, and for someone like me who's built the business all over again, this negatively affects me in terms of conducting my business and staying, you know, to where I am and where I want to go. So I don't love the bailouts, and I'm not a believer that it's going to fix everything.
Yeah, yeah. Neither am I. Just don't trust in them for sure. So I think we should kind of wrap it up here, Jay. But the important thing, guys, here is that in a market that is decreasing, creative financing works in all, you know, all market scenarios, right? And it will continue to work even more, be more common or more relevant in a decreasing market when properties are harder to sell. So I wanted to make that point. We kind of wanted to do this episode just to, you know, speak to the current event, right? Or events and kind of what's going on. You know, continue to take action, continue to go out there and make offers. If you're marketing, continue to market. You know, don't shut everything down and get scared now. I'm definitely still making, you know, offers on properties. Jeff is still making offers on properties. So continue to do that, guys. And hopefully, you know, hopefully this all blows over in, you know, a month or 2 months or something like that. And the economy does bounce back. And maybe it won't bounce back to where it was per se, but, you know, if we get somewhere close to that, everything will be fine.
Yep. And then we'll see how much money the government's going to write a check for, because it's not going to be in the millions. It's not going to be in the billions. It's going to be in the trillions. And
yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, that's huge.
Keep watching the stock market. Keep watching what our president is. Just be cautious, but don't shut down. I highly recommend not doing that. Maybe pull back a little, but don't shut down.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, guys. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this. And if you guys have any input or comments or questions, you can always reach us on our hotline, or you can DM us on Facebook. Our creative financing hotline number is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. You can also text creative financing to that number to receive special access to a video that Jeff put together on walking you through step-by-step on creating offers and going through the exit strategy on a single-family home. So you can also reach us on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast, and then all of our episodes are on, what's that?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. And all of our episodes are on the web at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Also, guys, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, give our hotline a call and just specifically mention that you're interested in that. And Jeff will give you a call back at some point. If it's not immediate, bear with us, because, you know, we both have businesses. So any last words, Jeff?
I'd love to work with people. We're actually doing a number of commercial deals all over the country. We'll continue to do so. Love to help you learn how to, one, wholesale, two, use creative financing. Send your questions, send your deals to our hotline. We want to help people, and especially now with everything that's going on. And we're coming up on our 100th episode. We're going to try to do something a little different, a little special, and I'm excited. I'm glad that Jonathan convinced me to do this, and here we are almost at 100 episodes. So way to go, Jonathan.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for coming on this journey with me. It's been fun. It's been a lot of work for both of us. But you know, when we get those phone calls from people that are, you know, just so grateful for the content that we put out there and the format that we do, you know, it makes it worth it. Right. At least for me. I don't know about you.
We just did that episode with Farouk, and he sent me an email saying that he got that deal. And
oh, awesome.
Yeah,
that's way cool.
Yeah, and I am working with someone right now in Florida that called me yesterday, and he has a deal, and I'll help him structure some offers. And so yeah, we like helping people. It's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's way cool, especially when we hear those stories of, you know, when we're able to get a guest on the podcast and they get a deal, that's awesome. So shout out to Farouk on that one. Good job. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.